Our unconditional guarantee means investors receive every payment of interest and principal when due, period. BAM-insured bonds have a high AA stable rating from S&P, and BAM credit profiles provide complete transparency on each and every transaction. BAM-insured bonds help build America's essential public projects. BAM, the feeling is mutual.
Business, finance, and the latest news affecting world markets. Powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. This is Bloomberg Radio. Now, a global news update.
Special report, Texas church shooting. Police are looking for a motive. Why did Devin Patrick Kelly go to Sutherland Springs and kill 26 people at the First Baptist Church? Wilson County Sheriff Joe Tackett Jr. says the shooter did have in-laws who attended the church.
I know they were not here yesterday.
Besides those killed, Tackett says he thinks nearly everyone at the church had some kind of injury.
Just people laying everywhere.
Correspondent Ed Lavandera reports Kelly had been in the Air Force and had served a year in prison for assaulting his wife and child, but had bought his assault-type rifle legally.
He was released from the military on a bad conduct discharge, which is different from a dishonorable discharge, and he was accused, court-martialed, and convicted of abusing his spouse and his child. So questions as to whether or not the conviction on those charges should have been able to disqualify him.
Kelly was found dead of a gunshot wound after being chased by people who heard the shooting. Flags will fly at half-staff until Thursday. I'm Evan Hayes.
Bloomberg Markets.
I'm Lisa Abramowitz. Join me and my co-host, Kim Fox, as we take a look at what to expect from Bitcoin futures. Also, what can retailers look forward to during the holiday season? Today at 10 Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Federal Reserve Bank of New York President William Dudley planning to retire in the middle of next year, signaling the departure of an influential, crisis-tested policymaker that will widen the leadership overhaul at the U.S. Central Bank. The New York Fed said in a statement this morning that Dudley's decision will ensure that a successor is in place well before the end of his term. Dudley's term ends in January 2019 when he reaches the 10-year limit in the role. Qualcomm has confirmed the receipt of a proposal from Broadcom. Broadcom offering $130 billion for Qualcomm. Qualcomm says its board will assess the proposal to determine the best course of action, and Qualcomm shares higher at 4.3%. Watching shares of Sprint this morning, they are down more than 11% after talks to merge with T-Mobile U.S. ended over the weekend. After months of negotiations, dashing investors' hopes for a wireless mega merger and signaling that unlimited data plans and heavy price discounting among U.S. carriers will continue. Futures this morning are little changed. DAX in Germany's down a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 31 cents to $55.94 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.90 at $12.72, 10 an ounce. The euro $1.1590, the yen 114.12. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and David.
Karen, thanks so much. Bloomberg surveillance this morning, brought to you by Interactive Brokers, offering direct market access to products in more than 100 markets in 24 countries with transparent low commissions, low margin loan rates, and best price execution. Visit IBKR.com/save more. It is 8:49 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. House Republicans have produced a bill that reforms taxes instead of just cutting them. That means their bill creates losers as well as winners, reducing its chances of passage. To evaluate the bill, we need to determine whether the pattern of winners and losers makes sense. Can the losers afford to pay the higher taxes? Are the tax breaks they're giving up justified or unjustified? Are there higher taxes being used for good purposes? The Republican tax reform gets mixed grades on these three tests. The big losers of the reform appear to be affluent people in high-tax, high-cost areas of the country. They can afford higher taxes, and the tax breaks they're losing, which subsidize people for living in expensive homes in high-tax states, are hard to justify. The bill gets a lower score on test three. Its winners include people making incomes in the high six figures. Cutting their tax rates will do little to promote economic growth. It will probably do a lot to enrage the people further down the income scale who will be paying more under this tax reform. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentary can be heard hourly weekdays on Bloomberg Radio. You know, the marathon, David.
Yes.
There it was. Record time, Dover to Calais. No, not the Eurostar. 6 hours, 55 minutes. What? I would have thought it was like 12 hours to swim the English Channel.
What you're highlighting here is something
Six hours, 55 minutes.
As we look at bios for those we interview, often there's a mention of, where you got your BA, master's, PhD here. Mm-hmm. This one reads, an avid open water swimmer. He swam across the English Channel in September 2008, across the Catalina Channel in 2009, and around Manhattan in 2010. Jeffrey Cleveland joining us now, chief economist at Payton & Riegel. We gotta start here. This is a passion of yours. You've done those three that I mentioned. Is this a regular thing for you?
It was for a while. The actual English Channel crossing was September 13th, 2008. I think you'll remember that weekend. We were all worried about the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Uh-huh. So it did take
you were out.
You were in the zone, underwater.
I had a lot to think about as it took me 10 hours, 22 minutes, and 32 seconds, Tom.
That's awesome. Do you have shark protection around Manhattan or Catalina Island?
Around Manhattan, I think you need pollution protection.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
The shark's not an issue. Across Catalina, the interesting thing about that swim is you do it at night. So we started at midnight on Catalina Island, and we swam towards San Pedro. And that's just due to the boat traffic in that channel. So, I'm sure there are sharks out there. But fortunately, I did not encounter any, only jellyfish.
There you go. Jeffrey, let me ask you about this moment in time. We've been reporting this morning about Bill Dudley announcing his intention to step down from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in 2018. Next year, mid-next year, of course, we had Janet Yellen's successor being named last week. Fed Vice Chair Stan Fisher has stepped down. We're at a period of real transition here. What does that mean for the U.S. economy?
I think, with Dudley stepping aside, right in front of me right now, I have a speech by Simon Potter, Gradual and Predictable, written the 11th of October, 2017. So maybe Simon Potter is up next. Perhaps he has much knowledge about the balance sheet and the New York Fed's role there, so there shouldn't be too much of a difficulty in that type of transition. For us, I think the bigger picture is, and what I'm trying to get clients and our traders and strategists to think about, is a world where the unemployment rate is sub 4%, which we think it will be next year. And if that's the backdrop we have, whoever's in charge, whoever's sitting around the table at the Fed, is going to be hiking rates. I'm not sure the Treasury market is paying as much attention to that as they are to low inflation.
Your call for the jobs last week was more than adding 350,000 of them. What's your sense of where the labor economy is at this point, and what this Fed should be paying attention to?
Well, the labor market looks great. I mean, however you slice it, job growth looks excellent. The unemployment rate now at 4.1%. We've only been this low three times in the post-war era. So you have to go back to the 1950s, 1965 to 1970, and the late 1990s. So you don't have many markets to compare to that are this good. The missing piece from clients is always the pointing to wage growth. But even as we look at that, wage growth is, I think, picking up. If you look at the Atlanta Fed's wage tracker, you'll get prime age workers. Wage growth is up almost 4% versus a year ago. Expect that to move higher if we do dip below a 4% unemployment rate, which we think we will next year. So, I mean, it's hard to find a negative for the labor market at this point.
On the inflation issue, we've heard from the outgoing Fed chair. She's talked about the role that technology is playing. We're seeing that this central bank reckon with that more than it has in the past. What's the import of that, the ramifications of talking about the issue of technology, the role that it's playing?
Well, we're seeing it most, I think, you know, in terms of goods prices. Goods prices have been falling since the mid-90s. So I think that's the role of technology. That's the key player. There's always structural shifts going on. We're moving to more services economy. We're moving away from the manufacturing. That's nothing, I don't think, unique to this last 5 or 10 years. I think that's something that's playing out for decades. So I don't think... I don't think that will affect this story, you know, very much in terms of the near term, in terms of getting to maybe 3.6 on the unemployment rate sometime next year.
Jeffrey Cleveland with us with Peyton Riegel this morning on economics. Jeffrey, let me ask you the question I was going to ask Bill Dudley at 12 noon today. Instead, I'll be asking him about retirement, about the shifts and the changes at the Fed. What does transitory mean to you? Within inflation, this word has come out of nowhere. I get it from a research standpoint, but do we have any clue, any probability, or just record uncertainty about what transitory inflation means?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They call it transitory, but we've actually been, you know, below that 2% that magic 2% number, Tom, on core PCE for a while. You know, 94 to 2005, I think core PCE averaged 1.8. 06 to, you know, this year it's been 1.7 on average. We're a little bit below that right now. So it seems pretty persistent rather than transitory, at least on core PCE. So maybe the real problem is they drew that magic marker line at 2%, and they've never really been able to hit
Should it
that
be lower with the new potential GDP? Does that number have to come in?
Perhaps, or Tom, you know, I would advocate a range. As a forecaster, it's really hard to hit your point estimate. So I always, you know, you could put a 1.5 to 2% type range would make sense, or even a 1 to 2% range, and then a lot of this worry from bond traders would go away because they would realize, oh, we're kind of right in that range. So I would advocate for that.
Jeff, one final question. David Gurr is ancient. He's like aging quickly over in Brooklyn. He wants to swim the East River. What's the number one mistake old people do when they really try to get a crawl stroke down? What's the tip? What's your pro tip today on learning a crawl stroke to swim the East River?
I think people, you know, keep your head down, David. I mean, you don't want the biggest mistake people make is their head is up, they're looking for the shoreline,
yes.
And that drops their hips down. And then they end up dragging themselves through the East River. That's just a big no-no.
Applicable here to Bloomberg Surveillance as well. Keep your head down.
A point of clarification as well. I should point out.
Same thing with the economy.
Yes, exactly.
The waters around Manhattan have improved vastly.
Oh, John, thank you. Yes.
Well, let's go to that right now. Jeffrey Cleveland, thank you so much with Peyton Riegel. And we're in awe of his accomplishments.
Absolutely.
Seriously, in the water. John, this really bears mentioning in that from where we were 20 or 30 years ago,
absolutely.
The lower harbor, it's extraordinary, the difference. Extraordinary.
Just from the fish. There was a whale not too long ago.
Have you been out in your kayak in the harbor?
Not in the harbor here. Used to with the sailboats I have been.
But you do the thing where you pull the Hummer H2 up and then you get the surf casting stuff out. You do that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the
you got the slots in the back of the Hummer.
For the pontoons on the Hummer, yeah.
but it's really improved. Arthur Levitt's great on this.
Vastly.
There used to be no fish.
Oh, a long way to go, but vastly improved.
No, there we go. John Tucker. With your environmental note on New York City. Good morning, Bloomberg 1130 New York and coast to coast. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Influential conversations from Bloomberg Television. Here's Alex Steele on Daybreak Americas.
Multinational companies are looking at a three-headed hit from the tax plan. If you break it down, here are some of the big ones. There's a 12% tax on accumulated earnings. There's also a 10% potential tax on companies that get high returns from foreign subsidiaries, as well as royalty payments made to foreign subsidiaries of U.S. companies will hit by a 20% tax. Therefore, if you make it overseas, you're getting taxed on it. Joining us to break it down is Rohit Kumar, PricewaterhouseCoopers Tax Policy Services Leader. Are those tax plans for multinationals business friendly?
You know, I mean, they're certainly getting a lot of attention, but you have to remember that's not the only thing in the bill. It's also paired with a reduction in the headline rate to 20%, the shifting of the U.S. from worldwide to territorial system. So, look, there's good news in here, there's bad news in here. Some of the international stuff, I think, was a little bit surprising, and it's very complicated. We are still ourselves kind of tearing it apart and trying to figure out how it all works, but certainly it's getting attention because I think it is one of the less expected things. A lot of what was in this bill was well telegraphed. Some of this was to some degree telegraphed, but some of it is clearly not what people are expecting. And that's, I think, part of what you're seeing in the market is a reaction to, hey, this is not exactly what we thought we were getting. So now we have to figure out what this means.
Hear more interviews like this one on Bloomberg Television, streaming live on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg mobile app, or check your local cable listings. Broadcasting live from the financial capital of the world at Bloomberg.com and on the Radio Plus mobile app, this is Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg Surveillance Economics.
We still have a lot of people out there looking for jobs.
The Federal Reserve's independence is crucial.
Finance.
I think we're stuck in a